Our scripture reading is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's now turn to the Lord in prayer before going to our message. Heavenly Father, as you have said, apart from you, we can do nothing. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Indeed, you are the vine and we are the branches, and from Christ and in Christ we derive all spiritual life. Every work of salvation, Lord, is derived from your grace in him. And so, Lord, we pray now that as we depend on you, on your saving work in every way, that you would give us the illumination, Lord, to understand your word and to receive it and to believe in it, Lord. If we are believers, if we are born again, it is a fact that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And so we pray now, Lord, that you would teach us, show us by your word, according to your truth, what is the meaning of this, so that we should have a great basis for proclaiming your excellencies, for our praise, for our worship, for the sharing of your good news. We pray this all for your glory and your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing on with our series in 1 Peter, picking up where we left off last Sunday in the second chapter of this epistle, moving on to the latter half of verse 9. So having dealt with the first half of verse 9 last week, we go into today's message by considering the remainder of this verse. And so we read in verse 9, the latter half, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, in its full context, verse 9 asserts that all who believe in Jesus Christ, as he's revealed in God's word, have been chosen by God for salvation, have been granted the privilege of priestly access and function, have been made citizens of his holy nation, and have been purchased for himself by the blood of Christ in order to fulfill a great purpose. And what is that great purpose? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What fuels the believer's glad, joyful proclamation of God's excellencies? What is the basis of the believer's conviction of God's immeasurable goodness and kindness towards them that issues in praise and worship? Well, it's their enjoyment of God's grace, whereby he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, there's one text in the Bible which stands out in my mind, which explains in further detail what it means to be called out of darkness and into the light of God's salvation. And that particular text is John chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. And it's this text that we'll be relying upon throughout our message for a better understanding of what it means to be called out of darkness into his marvelous light, this latter half of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So let me read John chapter 3, 18 to 21. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So, without further introduction, let's go ahead and now unpack what Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, verse 18 to 21, as it relates to this glorious reality of being called out of darkness and into God's marvelous light. So, turn now to our first point, the darkness out of which we were called. So in verse 18 of John 3, we read, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So if you think back to a few messages ago, we talked about the builders who rejected Jesus as the cornerstone of God's house. Well, let's consider this question in light of our text for today. Why did the builders at the time of Jesus' appearing and the builders of today reject the Christ foretold and revealed in God's word in favor of a Christ that conforms to their own preferences? Ultimately, why does anyone choose to reject Christ Jesus as he is proclaimed in the gospel of God's word? Well, while the unbelieving may offer various explanations to rationalize their aversion to the good news of Jesus Christ, there really is one simple explanation which Jesus gives in verse 19 of John 3, which answers that question. And so this is what we read. "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." The ultimate reason that the unbelieving reject the light of Christ Jesus, underlying all other reasons they have for rejecting him, is, as we read in verse 19 of John 3, their love for darkness. There is the reason underlying every other reason. Love for darkness. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Many people like to claim that their rejection of the gospel is purely based on rational grounds. But this, in fact, is not true. People turn away from the light of Christ ultimately because they love the darkness. And so we read on in verse 20. "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." The unbelieving may object to the gospel of Jesus Christ based on what they deem are rational reasons, but the foundational reason for their hardness towards the gospel is that, well, is that they are profoundly offended. They are profoundly offended by the truth concerning Christ Jesus. See, they love the darkness, and here's the offense: they hate the light that has come into the world. As we're told in verse 18 to 19, the unbelieving love the darkness because their works are evil, and in the darkness, their wickedness is concealed. They do not come to the light of Christ shining through the gospel because that light exposes their evil works and wicked doings for what they are. Again, the words of Jesus. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. In the darkness, people come up with all sorts of nice labels for sin. They come up with all sorts of nice labels for sin in order to cover up what it actually is. Sexual immorality is labeled as progressive, enlightened, this day and age, even courageous. Adultery, when committed under the right conditions, such as a difficult marriage, is labeled as finding true love. The murder of an unborn baby is labeled as a basic human right. Deception, dishonesty are labeled as practical necessities for living real life. All that preaching from the gospel, that's just referring to some, you know, idealized life. But, you know, if you really want to get ahead in real life, well, deception, dishonesty, these are all practical necessities. Maliciousness, duplicity is labeled as pragmatic, wise, and street smart. Selfish ambition, the willingness to trample upon anyone who gets between ourselves and our goal, willingness to resort to all manner of dishonesty and deception and slander in order to obtain our goals. A selfish ambition is labeled as just being tough-minded, just looking out for oneself. Well, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13 to 15 accurately depicts the darkness of the world apart from the light of Christ. Jeremiah 6, 13 to 15. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. An accurate depiction of our current times and of the world in darkness apart from the light of Christ. See, those who reject Christ Jesus do so because his light means exposure, acknowledging, confessing our sins for what they really are, and thus acknowledging and confessing ourselves for who we really are. In the light of Christ shining through the gospel, all the nice labels we applied to mask the foulness of our sins are stripped away. And we're made to face the truth we suppressed and covered up in the darkness. Our sins are unjust, false, abominable, shameful, rendering us culpable of nothing less than the full outpouring of God's just and holy wrath against us in perdition forever. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on Him. And the light of the gospel proclaims to us that unless we repent and believe in Christ Jesus for deliverance from our sin, deliverance from sin's penalty by His dying in our place, deliverance from sin's enslavement by His Spirit entering into us and leading us and transforming us in holiness, unless we repent and believe in Christ Jesus for deliverance from our sin, we will perish under God's wrath. Well, at this point, we find ourselves taking a defensive posture. We find ourselves scoffing. If you like, baring our teeth. Is there a sense of resentment rising up within us? We feel the urge to dismiss the gospel as some kind of outdated fire and brimstone teaching. It's narrow-minded, impractical. But the gospel, as we just summarized it, that summary is nothing other than the basic truth proclaimed by the gospel. And to respond this way to the truth of Christ's light only proves the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. The hatred of this exposure, as we've outlined it so far, is the root reason why anyone ultimately chooses to reject Jesus Christ for who He is, as He is revealed in God's Word. It's the reason that underlies every other reason that they may have. Underlying even the rational reasons they have is this great sense of offense at Christ Jesus, His gospel. People love the darkness rather than the light. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. Which brings us now to the second point of our message, the light into which we were called. So in contrast to those who reject Christ out of love for the darkness and hatred of His light, those who believe in the good news of Jesus Christ are described in verse 21 of John 3 as follows. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So those who believe in Christ Jesus are described as whoever does what is true. So we read there, whoever does what is true comes to the light. So the believer in Christ Jesus is described as whoever does what is true. What does that mean? Why are believers described as those who do what is true? Well, this is what it means. See, whoever accepts the reality, the truth of their lostness in sin, and accepts the reality that their greatest need in all of life is reconciliation with a holy God, whoever accepts this reality acts in accordance with that reality. They'll no longer love the darkness, where they once covered up their sins. Their soul will be sick of the darkness, and they will long for God's saving provision from their sins. When the gospel is proclaimed to them, they will not repudiate the light of Christ like those who love the deception of the darkness. No, what will they do? We read in verse 21 of John 3, they will come to the light of Christ to receive relief and deliverance from their sins, which He provides in Himself. And when a person comes to the light of Christ for that relief and deliverance from their sins, what happens? Their life radically transforms. See, through faith in Jesus Christ, all the blessings of salvation are granted to the believer. That's how we receive all the blessings of salvation, through faith in Christ. And we read in Luke 1:79 that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, came to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Apart from Christ, apart from His light, we sit in darkness. The unbelieving sit in darkness. They do not know the purpose of life. They have theories, no certainty. They have guesses, no certainty. They simply do not know. They have no one to guide them in the way that is truly good for them, in the way that will truly profit their soul. So, they stumble about in the darkness, to and fro, following one person, then another, listening to one person's directions, then another person's directions, which contradicts what the first person tells them. And at times, they think they found somebody. They think they found a trustworthy guide. Until that person, who himself or herself is blind, leads them both into a pit, deeply wounded. They turn to books, to various writings by famous men and women, only to discover that the lives of these so-called great people of the world were themselves fraught with wickedness and despair, even more wicked, even more despairing than themselves. And so, nursing their many disappointments, what do? They just sit down in the darkness, worn out, and as lost as ever. They have no light for life in this world. They have no light for life in the next. And so, as Luke 1:79 tells us, they sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Well, that's a sad, pitiable life. And so when people decide to reject the light of Christ Jesus, they have only themselves to blame for their misery in the darkness, because Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. But in contrast, for believers who turn to Christ for deliverance from their sins, what do we read in Luke 1:79? that Christ Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. For those who turn to Christ for deliverance from their sins, from sin's penalty, from sin's enslavement, what does He do? He guides their feet into the way of peace. He alone guides our feet into the way of peace with God. That is the heart of all true peace. Peace with God. And so we read in Hebrews 10:19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh." Christ Jesus came to open the way into the presence of God through His own flesh. That's the curtain. Through His own flesh. His own flesh crucified on the cross for our sins. And so through faith in Christ Jesus, we have been granted, as we've emphasized in recent messages, free and confident access to God as priests. Priests in the Old Testament were the ones and the only ones who were permitted to enter the holy places of the tabernacle. But now we have confident access to the very presence of God, the holy places, by the blood of Jesus. We're priests. We've been granted free and confident access to God as priests to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. 1 Peter 2:5. See, unlike the believing, we know what our purpose in life is. Purpose is to fulfill the function of a priest. Romans 12:1, it's to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The priests of the Old Testament, they offered up animals. We don't offer up animals. Jesus Christ was the perfect atoning sacrifice once and for all. So what do we offer as priests? We offer our very own bodies as a living sacrifice. As our spiritual worship. And as we learned in last week's message in Titus 2:14, we read that Christ Jesus gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. All believers have been brought under God's ownership by the blood of Christ. So we no longer live for ourselves, but for Him to whom we belong, to do good works for Him, to do good works in service and worship to Him. Zealous for these good works. We are, as verse 9 of our text in 1 Peter points out, a people for His own possession. See, all who believe in Christ Jesus know exactly who they follow. There's no confusion. They know exactly who they follow. The one who came to guide our feet into the way of peace with God. The one, as Revelation 1, 5-6 tells us, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priests to His God and Father. The one whose Spirit lives within us, has entered us, lives within us, and is transforming us into the same image from one degree of glory to another. The one whose will is revealed to us in the gospel, His word. A believer does not sit down despairing in the darkness, not knowing whom to follow, following that person, following this person and inevitably being led into a pit, sitting down in the darkness, despairing, not knowing whom to follow. No, as we emphasized just a few moments ago, the believer knows exactly who they follow. They follow Jesus Christ, who guides them by His Word. The believer does not sit despairing in the shadow of death, burdened by the sins they covered up in the darkness, sins for which God will hold them accountable. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. That's why the unbelieving sit despairing in the shadow of death. It's appointed for them to die once, and then comes judgment. You know, we have been given light for life in this world. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. John 5:24. They have light, as we can see, for life in the world to come. We have come to the light of Jesus Christ, and He is our light forever. And so we read at the conclusion of verse 21 of John 3, that whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. His works have been carried out in God. See, the transforming work that takes place in all who come to Christ's light has no explanation. The believer is a quandary to the world. Has no explanation other than that this transforming work has been carried out in God. The believer is a person who knows that all the works of salvation in his or her life, the transforming work of God, regeneration, faith, sanctification, has been carried out in God, in God's power alone. Left to ourselves, we would have remained in the darkness. Had God passed over us and left us to the stubbornness of our own hearts, we, like anyone else who rejects Christ, would have loved the darkness as they do, and hated Christ's light as they do. We would have preferred to sit in the misery of darkness and in the shadow of death, rather than to have our feet guided by the light of Christ into the way of peace, to the way of peace with God. And it's only because God chose us in His unmerited love and gave us a new heart through the power of new birth for the purpose of granting us the desire and ability to turn to Christ Jesus in faith that we ever came to the light of Christ in the first place. And it's only because He sent His Holy Spirit to live within us that we have power to put our sins to death. To put our sins to death. To break free from the enslaving influence of sin and grow in the likeness of Christ's holiness. The transformation of the believer's life has no explanation other than it has been carried out in God, in His power alone. Whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So if we believe in Christ Jesus for who he is, as he is revealed in God's word, then this miracle has taken place in our lives, because that's what it really is, a miracle. And what is that miracle? God has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And this is the basis of our joyful and glad proclamation of God's manifold excellencies. Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we now pray that insofar as what has been preached is in keeping with your word and is according to the illumination and guidance of your Holy Spirit, that it will take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives, Lord. We pray that if there be any who continues to sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, despairing, not knowing who to follow, they followed this person, they followed that person, this writer, this famous author, all of them just led them straight into a pit. When they examined their lives, they were just as despairing, if not more despairing than themselves in reality, and just as wicked. Lord, if there be any person who sits in the darkness, sits in the shadow of death, no light for life in this world, no light for life in the next, Lord, that we pray that this great miracle would be worked upon them, this miracle of your calling, your effective calling, that you would call them out of darkness and into your marvelous light, so that they no more need to despair, that they will know exactly whom to follow. They have no uncertainty in that regard. They're not confused. They're not led astray by this person, by that person, by the folly of human wisdom. They know exactly whom they follow. They have utter confidence in that. They follow Christ. They listen to his word. And so, Lord, we pray that they will become sheep of your flock. They will know your voice, recognize your voice, and follow you. They will not follow strangers. They will follow you. And that's what the world needs today, Lord. And we pray for those who are a part of your flock, who have indeed been called out of darkness into your marvelous light, that what has been preached so far, Lord, in your word this morning will be confirmed in our own experience, and so that we would have great fuel for our proclamation of your excellencies, that we have great rejoicing, great worship, Lord, that we will be filled with thanksgiving and joy, knowing that we have your light, the light of the world, that we have the truth. And so we pray this all now in Jesus' name. Amen.